today is March the 14th, 2010, Sunday afternoon or early evening. The message for this evening is entitled
Philosophy, Mathematics, and Truth.
Philosophy, Mathematics, or Truth.
Okay.
Philosophy, Mathematics, or Truth. I heard a young lady this morning on public radio who is a professor of physics, a very intelligent young lady. Her name is Levin. I was kidding with my wife, you know, little Levin leaveneth the whole lot. But Levin was smart, intelligent, and a mathematician. And she was seeking to find all the answers of life through quantum physics and mathematics. And the interviewer asked her, how is it that you came to be interested in mathematics, and specifically quantum physics, and specifically using that as a means for finding the solutions to all of life's problems? And Miss Levin gave the example of the fact that she was in a philosophy class in college, and they had a guest instructor come in from a physics professor who was a mathematician and very much into quantum physics, and how he set forth the presupposition that mathematics was the only practical means of finding solutions to problems. And she gave the example of the computer, how that the person who invented the computer used simple logic, logical formulas, they call it GIGO, garbage in, garbage out, into the computer, and formulated programming instructions for that computer to function and to do certain tasks that makes it easier for us. And then the interviewer asked her a very important question. How is it that you can answer the question 1 plus 1 equals 2 and negate or affirm the fact that God is behind it? Now, I'm going to repeat that. How is it that you can take a simple mathematical equation like 1 plus 1 equals 2 and either negate the fact or affirm the fact that God is behind it? And Miss Levin said that's a very hard question, and she ended up going through a long answer, but her final answer was that her own construct of life is that one need not to rely upon religion to arrive at solutions for problems. One can rely upon mathematical solutions to answer the problems of this life. Now, I want to contrast that with what Christ said. Christ said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And he went on to say, unless you become like a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And what that means in a nutshell is this, that the people that have all of the intelligence, the mathematical constructs, the theorems, the Einsteins, the mathematical geniuses, still admit the fact that there are presuppositions within mathematics that cannot be answered, leaving truth in suspect. But Jesus said, unless you come as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Simple, childlike faith. The greatest intellects of all time have been the least, have had the least amount of spiritual faith. Now you might say, well, Larry, are you saying that only idiots can believe the gospel? No. But I am saying that there is a correlation between trying to rely upon your own intellect and trying to rely upon some mathematical formula to explain the universe, and one who has been given the gift of faith by God. Mark, go to Corinthians. Now, this is not me speaking. This is Paul speaking. Now, tonight we're talking about philosophy, mathematics, or truth. What's the contrast between mathematics, philosophy, and truth? Now, if we go to 1 Corinthians and we look at the first chapter, it says here, it makes the comparison between the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. It makes a comparison between those geniuses that we're talking about, people like Einstein and the philosophers of life, like Kant and Schopenhauer and Socrates and Plato, and the people that are into quantum physics, that can talk about bending light. You know, I met a guy one time and he was into physics, and he talked about he was working on laser beams. But there's still a question about how fast we are limited by the speed of light. Well, here it says, read verse 18.
The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God.
Miss Levin, if you were to set forth the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, she would deny the fact that she was a sinner in need of a Savior, I'm sure. He goes on and says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.
Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?
For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
The Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom.
We're going to be doing a message here on Greeks here in a little bit. The Greeks are seeking after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. Miss Levin, I'm sure she's Jewish. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and what does it say about the Greeks?
Unto the Greeks, foolishness.
But unto them which are called, that means those who are God's elect, both Jews and Greeks, there's Levins that are God's elect, there are Jews, and there are Greeks that are God's elect. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 25.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Miss Levin was, like I said, very articulate, very intelligent, probably had several degrees, and just finished doing a lot of work around this whole area of quantum physics. But yet, she denied the existence and the need for relying upon the existence of a God. Here it says the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called.
God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring not things that are.
That no flesh should glory in his presence.
Why did God make it so difficult for the leavens of life not to be able to understand the gospel? Why did God show the simpletons, those that don't have great minds? You know, I never was a mathematician. I struggle with algebra and logarithms, and probability and statistics. But I believe the Word of God when it says that we are chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. I believe the Bible when it says in Genesis 1:1 that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Miss Levin wants to talk about how this universe has been around for billions and billions and billions of years. And my Bible, by doing simple studies, saying it's around 6,000 years old. And that the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day. 24-hour periods. Miss Levin wants to rely upon some kind of formula for the existence of man, absent of any kind of God. She wants to rely upon Darwin, evolutionary theory, which has been absolutely proved to be absolutely a farce. When you look at carbon dating, and you look at fossils, the fossil record, it's very evident that fossils, it doesn't take them that long to get into a fossil state. But the point is that Jesus Christ is the one that created all things, and by Him all things were created. There's not anything in the world that was created that wasn't created by Christ. And He said in His Word that the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. And on the sixth day, God rested from all His works. Now, we're talking about philosophy, mathematics, or truth. You know, I was recently talking to someone. My mom had called me on the phone, and she says, "You know, I'm just about 80 years old." And I said, "Well, you know, I just saw on the news last week that two people died, two of the oldest people in the United States died on the same day, and they were both 114 years old. And I said, "You know what that tells me? Just doing strict logic?" She goes, "What's that?" And I said, "In all probability, neither one of us will live over 114 years old." Now, we're talking about philosophy, mathematics, or truth. Now, the Bible is real clear that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Miss Levin wants to deny the Bible. Miss Levin wants to rely upon her intellect. Miss Levin wants to rely upon science, she calls it. You know, then she said she had recently returned to philosophy because mathematics couldn't answer all of her questions. Let me tell you something, Miss Levin. I'm not a genius and I'm not a quantum physics person, but I can tell you this beyond every shadow of doubt in my mind. You can work till you're purple in your brain. The veins are, the blood is surging through your vein. But you will never understand everything about mathematics in the world because you're not God. You're finite. God is infinite. Your puny little brain is nothing beside the Almighty God. And for you to think that you would have the ability to figure God out is the absolute ultimate blasphemy against him. In Isaiah, he says, I am God, there's none beside me. And you know what Miss Levin needs to do? She needs to go read through the book of Job. She needs to read about the Leviathan. And she needs to read God's response to Job about the snowflake and about all the other things that he created. And then that would might give Miss Levin a little answer about her quantum physics. People talk about time warp. People talk about ultra dimensions and time travel and all this stuff. Let me tell you something. What do you think it means when the Word of God conveys regarding God that He is the Alpha and Omega? He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. What does He mean when He said to Moses, I am that I am? Well, how in the world could anyone make a clock go backwards on the sundial? Explain that, Miss Levin, in your quantum physics, would you? Miss Levin, could you explain to me how the Red Sea parted and thousands of people went forth on dry land, and then all of a sudden the Red Sea folded up on thousands of people and killed them? Miss Levin, could you explain that? Miss Levin, could you explain to me how three men could be cast in a fiery furnace and not even their clothes would be singed? Can you explain quantum physics in relation to that? Miss Levin, can you explain how a whale could actually swallow a person up and 3 days later vomit them out and the person would still be living? Miss Levin, can you explain to me how someone could put their shoulders under an archway of a building and bring it down and kill thousands of Philistines? How do you explain that in terms of quantum physics? Miss Levin, could you explain how soldiers could march around a wall and blow on their trumpets and the whole wall fall down? Are you going to tell me it's from the vibration of the trumpets?
No.
Miss Levin, can you explain to me how that a man could take a few loaves and a few fish and feed 5,000 people? 1 + 1 = 2. A few loaves and fish fed 5,000. Can you explain that in terms of quantum physics, Miss Levin? Miss Levin, can you explain to me how that the Bible says that when we die, we're going to be with Him immediately in paradise? Can you explain that in terms of your ultra-dimensional theory? There's lots of things I'd like for you to explain, Miss Levin. Could you explain to me how that there was this wheel in the middle of a wheel, old Ezekiel talked about? Can you explain to me how Enoch walked with God and he was taken, transported in the twinkling of an eye? He didn't need a rocket or a spaceship. He didn't even have to wait to die, Miss Levin. Can you explain that to me? Miss Levin, can you explain to me how that Jesus Christ, you know, was a real man who walked on the face of the earth in sandals in the area of Jerusalem, and you know that the record is that he died and he was buried in this tomb, and that he rose from the dead? And can you explain to me how, and this was seen by a lot of people, how Jesus was in front of this one grave and he called Lazarus to come forth out of the grave and he rose from the dead? Can you explain that to me in terms of quantum physics, Miss Levin? Well, there's a lot of things you haven't explained, Miss Levin. By your mathematical genius, there's a lot of things that Einstein hasn't explained and a lot of things Darwin hadn't explained. And there's a lot of things, a lot of people today who are professors of quantum physics can't explain about these things. You know what they say? Oh, that was just mythology. That was just a good story. That was just to make people believe something that wasn't true. Jesus Christ was witnessed by over 500 people that saw him after he rose from the dead. And when they went out to the Mount of Olives and he began to raise up from the earth, can you explain that to me, Miss Levin, in terms of your quantum physics? What did he have? Anti-gravity? So, folks, the wisdom of the world is foolishness. The wisdom of God is eternal life to them who are called according to his purpose. Do you believe the accounts of the three Hebrew children? Do you believe the accounts of the Red Sea? Do you believe the... Miss Levin, I have got one other question for you. How in the world could Mary give birth to a child without having sexual intercourse with a man? Explain that to me in terms of quantum physics. How could she be a virgin and conceive a man? Can you explain that to me? No, you can't. No, you can't, Miss Levin. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So, that's our discussion tonight about truth, philosophy, truth, or mathematics. And I'm not anti-mathematics. I'm not anti-science. I'm just wanting to point out that God is the one that created mathematics and science. And he created it such, Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. We don't have a clue all about this stuff. And for you to think, Miss Levin or Einstein or any of you sharp people, think you've got it all figured out, all I got to say is, ha! Ha! You infantile imbecile, you, to think that you have the intellect on par and equal with the infinite God. Psalm says that he will hold you in derision and laugh at you and your calamity. And you'll cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on you. So much for your quantum physics, Miss Levin. Anyway, Father, we pray that you will take this message and use it for your glory tonight. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Thank you.